Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Good evening, sports fans here in Chicago and listening around the globe on 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. This is the Lawrence Holmes Show, but it takes two of us to fill in for Lawrence. It's Nick Shepkowski and Barry Rosner with you until 10 o'clock. Right here, live from the Hyundai Studios, our producers are Herb Lawrence and Shane Reardon. Julie DeCaro in all night to handle the updates, keeping us posted on any breaking news, if there is any, during this All-Star break. The phone number is, of course, 312-644-6767. You can also join in via the Tech Zone on The Score, brought to you by the Grossinger Auto Group. Find over 5,000 vehicles every day at grossinger.com. If you text us, you'll get a text back acknowledging your text. Standard message and data rates may apply. I am at Barry Rosner on Twitter. Nick is at Shep 670, 312-644-6767. Lots to get to tonight. We will get into the anniversary of Disco Demolition. We'll talk some Cubs and what's going to happen in the second half. The White Sox moves that are now only, you know, maybe 2 weeks away. They're all going to happen.
If that.
Yeah, could even be sooner. I was going to ask you. If you think, we'll get into All-Star memories as well, your favorite All-Star memories. Feel free to join in at 312-644-6767. I was going to ask you, Shep, do you think somebody will move early? Because it doesn't happen every year, and usually if it does happen, it happens earlier than this. It happens late June, early July, and if it doesn't, it generally goes down to those last few days. But was out for my run today, getting attacked by red-winged blackbirds, as always.
I mean, the absolute worst things in the world.
It's just...
If there's one species I root to be eliminated from this earth, it is a red-winged blackbird.
It's, you know, if you're afraid of flying, it's kind of like this. In the days leading up to the flight, there's a lot of anxiety.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not afraid of flying, but I do know people who are. There's a lot of anxiety, and then you get on the flight, and then you're anxious the whole time. You get off the flight, you get to wherever you are, and you relax. And you enjoy your 5 days or 3 days, wherever it is you are. But that last day of the trip, you start to think about it again. And now the anxiety comes back. And then it's just, and you know what's coming. Well, it's like that. I leave my house, and for the first 5 minutes, I know I'm going to encounter these birds at this one particular corner. And so that 5 minutes,
I'm mentally prepared, know what's coming, and duck, dodge, and whatever else. Avoid those damn birds and carry on your way from them.
I have to carry a stick with me. And I know it's irrational because they can't hurt me, but it still scares me, okay? The noise, the being, you know, pecked in the head, it scares me. So I get through that. Now I can enjoy the next 35, 40 minutes.
Minutes of the run, and rest then, of your night, and everything else.
And then,
but when you go back tomorrow.
But then as I make the turn to go back on this street with 5 minutes left in my run, I know here it is again. So the few minutes leading up to that, now there's the anxiety again. Now I know I got to fight. And it's even worse going back because of the way the trees are positioned, and they can hide. And I got to run backwards, and I have to look up, and I have to scream, and the people in the cars are pointing at me and laughing. And a shout out, by the way, to this one landscaping truck with a couple of guys who saw it happening, and they were like nodding their heads like, yeah, we get it.
Right. We deal with it every single day.
Every day.
Stop looking at us for help. We deal with this everywhere we go, most likely.
Every backyard we go into.
No.
So I was out for a run today, and I started thinking, you know, the market for starting pitchers could be pretty tough out there, which is great for the White Sox. And I wonder who's going to move first, and I wonder how fast they would go, and maybe willing to do something quickly in order to avoid that last-minute rush.
Yeah, and this hour on The Score brought to you by Grand Geneva Resort and Spa in Lake Geneva, Wisconsin. And you asked, when is early going to be early? I always think of, I never expect anything, obviously, before the June entry draft. Like, even talks to really begin before then. And unless there's a major injury, unless you have a real contender that
teams
has to
busy.
Replace
they're
someone
busy
that's...
with the draft.
They're prepping for the draft, so nothing ever happens before that. But afterwards, as soon as that wraps up, then you start to get the talks that really start to get going forward and start progressing. And that part of it, and the one I always think of anymore anyway, is sitting there on the 4th of July, or the 3rd of July, I forget which night it was, the one year when Addison Russell gets dealt to the Cubs for Jeff Samardzija and Jason Hamill in that deal. And that was what set the market this year,
right.
That year. I've seen a couple of relievers go to where? Tampa's acquired a couple of relievers in the last couple of weeks.
Made a couple nice moves.
Not really any huge moves. I don't think any moves that put them over the top in the AL East or anything, but those are about the biggest moves you've seen so far this year, at least. But I would think that in this pitcher's market that you'll see one go pretty far in advance before, like, I don't know if it'll be Gray, Quintana, who it might be, but I think you're going to get one here in the next week or so after the All-Star game to really set the market.
312-644-6767 is the phone number. Shane says I should take this call, so I'm going to take this call. Bob and Niles, you're on the score.
I'm in Park Ridge now.
You're in Park Ridge.
Yeah.
Bob from Niles now lives in Park Ridge.
I was wondering about, I see Derek Rose, that's why I say Trent Turner was supposed to go to the Brewers are interested in him, and they wanted, I see Rose was going to go and play for the Brewers, the basketball team.
Bucks? You think the Bucks?
Yeah. I don't know. We'll see what happens with that.
He's visiting a lot of different places. I don't think it's going to be
the T-Wolves rumors early, too.
No.
Early in the offseason.
I heard the Mavs, the Dallas Mavericks is the last one I heard.
Yeah. I heard Camille Anthony's going somewhere. I think he wanted to go to he's supposed to go to Toronto wanted him.
Last I heard about Carmelo,
Toronto,
was Houston.
Cleveland.
There was a
Houston.
I mean, yeah.
Yeah, Bob, where do you think Carmelo should go?
I'd like to see him come here and play for the Bulls, but I don't
know. Be perfect for the tanking.
I don't know.
He's been doing the Knicks thing. He's mastered.
Doing, I don't know. I don't know what they're up to after trading everybody else. Yeah.
You're not optimistic about the future for the Bulls, Bob?
Well, not right now. I don't know what they're up to. But I'm optimistic, but it's going to take maybe a couple more years. I don't know. Yeah.
They're rebuilding.
I don't know about Dwayne Wade's legs. I don't know if he's going
to I wouldn't count on too much from Dwayne Wade's legs.
Huh?
I wouldn't count on too much from Dwayne Wade's legs.
No, me either.
I would trust you more than Dwayne Wade at this point, Bob.
Yeah.
Bob, this
what
is...
What about the girls? Let them play.
Which ones?
The girls. You mean the
lovables? The lovables.
Oh.
I'm still mad at this guy. They traded my girlfriend. I don't know what they're going to do. I don't know.
Hey, Bob, this is not the Boers and Bernstein show, but I'm curious as to what movies you've seen lately.
Well, we're supposed to see this cat movie, and then I got first. Then we saw some. I saw.
Is it a new cat movie or is it an old cat movie?
I don't know. I think it's the older one. I don't know. They're supposed to show that, but I don't know. And I saw the one about the other day was. We're supposed to go to the library and see some travelogue Thursday on Germany, but we're supposed to see this one.
Are you going to Germany, Bob? Is there a reason you would want to watch that travelogue?
No.
No.
No, just that I was watching D-Day with, they had D-Day with a lot of the older actors in it, and I remember they had. Well, we were supposed to see this. I saw Field of Dreams the other night.
Very good.
And
I've always thought it's overrated.
Do you like it, Bob?
Yeah, I had it. I don't know.
Did you cry at the end? I always cry at the end.
Yeah. Well, you don't like Christopher. You don't care for
Now, I've always thought that it was one of the more overrated sports and
he's got no
baseball
heart.
Movies
he's
out
got
there,
no
Bob.
Heart, Bob. I thought it was I thought it was a nice.
Well,
movie.
I thought that the one out that was overrated was the one about the 1919 World Series.
Oh, eight men out.
8 men out. Yeah.
Yeah, 8 men out. That's I don't know.
How old were you in? You weren't around in 1919, were you, Bob?
No.
No, Bob's like. How old are you, Bob?
Not until 1946. I remember Johnny Romano, Ron Kittle, all those older guys. Jimmy Pearsall, I remember when they played. And I remember guys like Nellie and Louie and Ron Hanson.
You going to watch the All-Star game tonight, Bob?
Yeah, I'll probably watch it.
What's your favorite All-Star memory, Bob?
All-Star memory?
Yeah.
Roberto Clemente, when he played, I don't know.
Did he do something special?
Well, I think he hit a couple homers and something. They won, I think. Well, there's that one with Bill Mazeroski. He hit the home run, beat the Yankees, and what was it? He beat the Yankees in, what was it, 63?
The World Series you're
talking
about?
Yeah, it was the World Series.
Yeah, I remember that.
Well, it's good to hear from you, Bob. How's everything?
Fine.
Yeah?
Yeah. One of my friends at church celebrated his day after the 4th of July celebrated his 95th birthday.
Wow.
Yeah.
It's a hell of a run.
Yeah. Well, what about, I mean, I haven't heard too much about my buddy at ESPN. Is he broadcasting anymore?
Sutcliffe? Yeah,
he's still doing
games. He's still working.
I was wondering because I haven't seen him on ESPN lately doing the games. I don't know.
I think he does more.
Giants, right?
I think he does more radio.
Yeah, he does more radio now.
I'll text him and find out where he is and what he's doing.
I thought
you better pick that up.
You dropped something, Barry.
Well, I was at the game Thursday. And they were terrible. I thought last night, what are they doing, playing football Sunday?
Down
10-0, you mean? Is that the game you
went
to, Bob?
Cubs and Pittsburgh.
Who'd you go with on Thursday?
My friend Tim Huizenga. They lost 11-2, then they lost 14-3, and I counted the 10 runs that the – 10 runs Colorado beat them. It was 23 runs, 23-3.
Oh, the Cubs and Sox, you're combining them. Yeah, that was a brutal Sunday. Just a brutal Sunday for Chicago baseball.
I remember Mike Hershberger, all those guys, Milo Hamilton, I remember. Yeah.
Well, enjoy the game tonight, Bob.
Yeah.
All right? It's good talking to you.
Yeah, I tried to get Dan today. Maybe I'll try and get him tomorrow. I was going to. Could you give him a message for me?
Certainly.
I can pass it along.
I told him I was at church Sunday, and I prayed for him and Rick and Stoney and Hawk Carlson because Nicole was talking about some of the ball. We might do some. We did some history about. When they had the bubonic plague and the Civil War this afternoon, and I just tell him I was praying for him at church Sunday.
Are you worried that Dan might have the plague or smallpox or something?
No, I'm not worried.
Okay.
I just wanted to pray for him.
That's very nice. Thank you for the call, Bob. We'll make sure to pass that along. And really, you should call Dan's show tomorrow. I'm sure he would appreciate that.
Yeah, tomorrow or Friday. Bob likes to call on Fridays very often and at least wish the guys a happy weekend and everything.
You're the EP. You're the big deal. You're the executive producer.
I've gotten to talk to Bob and got to know Bob quite a bit in the last few months.
Calling frequently?
Ever since, we hadn't heard from him in months. I know that Maddie, who had held the job before I did, hadn't heard from him in forever. And just kind of like, what's the latest on Bob? What's new with Bob? Hadn't heard from him. And then just like a random Friday in the middle of February or late February, he called and it was like, oh, my God. And I just put up mystery guest on line one and they said hi to him. And it was like We found him. We tracked down Bob, and he's been calling about once a week ever since.
Like old home week. It's very nice. So it's good to hear from Bob. And we'd like to hear from you at 312-644-6767. When we come back, talk about some of our All-Star Game memories. We'd like to hear from you on that. You can text us on the Grossinger text screen at 670-11. You can tweet us at Barry Rosner, at Shep670. And we'll do some of that. We're going to get into Disco Demolition tonight as well. I was there. It was a frightening evening, but important for so many different reasons.
Yeah, and I'm curious, I guess, all-star memories that we wanted to kind of go over before the game got started. We'll do that as well.
We'll get into the Cubs as well and the White Sox, Quintana, and all that.
This segment on The Score brought to you by Mike Subs, Jersey Mike Subs. If you want to win a rocking trip from Jersey Mike's and Pepsi, stop in Jersey Mike's today to enter. No purchase necessary. Sweepstakes end August 14th. See official rules at PepsiRockThisWay.com.
When we come back, we'll take your phone calls. We'll get into the Cubs, the White Sox, the All-Star Game, all of that on the Lawrence Holmes Show right here on 670 The Score.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
It's kind of a corny movie, Field of Dreams, but it's a nice movie. I mean, it's not my favorite baseball movie, not by any stretch. That's Bull Durham, but it's a nice movie.
Just seems, I feel like it's overacted, and like, I like some Kevin Costner baseball movies, and I loved Field of Dreams as a kid, but the more I watch it, like, the further away I get from, I mean, the message at the end of it is great, I mean, that's phenomenal, but just some of the cheesiness to get there, I guess, is the more the problem I have with it.
That's Nick Shepkowski, I'm Barry Rosner, this is the Lawrence Holmes Show. My mom was really sick at the time, she was nearing the end of a very long battle with cancer, and I knew it was near the end, and that might have had something to do with why I was
What was it, mid-80s, late 80s? 89. 89?
So it came out late August, early September of 89. And so maybe that's why I was perhaps more emotional at the time. But still, when I watch the end, I still cry. It's a cute movie. It's, you know, you have to, it's like The Natural. Some people hate The Natural. I thought it was a nice movie. You know, I mean, again, it's Hollywood.
There was a
if
night
you
want to
watch a real baseball movie, you watch Bull Durham.
I was watching The Natural, and there's nothing else on. It's on, like, Movie Channel, whatever the heck it was on. And I decided that I'm going to start tweeting it as if I'm watching a baseball game during the last scenes of it.
That's a great idea.
And I realized during it, people are following it, and I'm tweeting about the Knights are down, was it 3-2 or 2-1, whatever it is. People think I'm talking about the Charlotte Knights. And I'm like, Hobbs shatters bat, still puts ball over fence, just foul. And I was like, heck of a shot there. Because when Wonder Boy breaks, the ball still goes over the fence.
Pulled it foul,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, he pulled it foul. But what you forget is the broken bat, it still went like 330 feet down the line or whatever, which you never hear of doing, or almost never. And I tweeted about that, and then I'm like, oh, Hobbs walk-off home run, Knights win 4-3. People are like, why are you watching the Charlotte Knights? And I'm like, entirely missed the joke there, guys, but that's okay.
That's surprisingly creative coming from you.
Oh, seriously. Thanks. Thanks, Barry.
I mean that with no due respect at all. That's kind of impressive. I wouldn't have thought to do that. I like the idea. I like that very much.
So next time, like, I don't know what baseball movie can be on. I don't know if Love of the Game, when Billy Chappell's throwing his perfect game in Yankee Stadium, if you want to track that and follow that along sometime. But, yeah, that's the idea out there for you.
312-644-6767 is the phone number. Probably my favorite all-star moment came in 1979. It was Greg Nettles at the plate, Bruce Sutter on the mound, and the game was tied at the time. I believe it was the top of the ninth inning. Joe Gargiola and Tony Kubek, I assume. That was a pairing for a long time on the game of the week. That was one of the most remarkable throws I've ever seen. Dave Parker was a hell of a player. Hell of a player. And I don't think it was one hop. Tony Kubek said one hop. We'll tweet out the link to that highlight. I thought it was on the fly. And Gary Carter makes a phenomenal play. He catches it and pushes Downing off the plate. Brian Downing at that point had gotten pretty big.
Well, and watching the replay here, or watching the video of it right here, as I'm reloading it now, but how close the play still is. I mean, it takes an absolutely spot-on perfect throw from Parker, a hell of a tag from Carter.
AstroTurf.
And it's still from about, I'd say, 3 to 6 inches is how close that play was.
How deep was he in right field? That was a very long throw. That was not a base hit to short right. He was playing
way deep. No, he was playing deep. It's being played on turf, so it takes a perfect bounce right to him, but he is playing pretty deep in right field.
Bruce Sutter on the mound. Greg Nettles at the plate. Dave Parker makes a throw. Carter with the phenomenal catch and tag. And if you watch the replay, you see Reggie Jackson.
No, there's no bounce at all.
Yeah.
There's no hop. That is thrown into the right-handed batter's box.
Reggie
on the fly.
Reggie Jackson on first as the runner. Pete Rose playing first.
Yeah, Pete Rose with his haircut and in the weird-looking Phillies uniform at the time is quite the sight in that, too.
312-644-6767. Let's go back to the phones. Greg in Rogers Park. You're on the score. Good evening, Greg.
Good evening, guys. You know, I just brought a tear to my eye hearing Gary Carter's name. He died way too soon, too early. He was a heck of a ball player. You know, and memory of Bruce Sutter, that's why I called. But the Cubs, Wade Davis being their closer, brought back memories of Bruce Sutter. I think 3 years in a row, he was in the decisive, either got a save or a win in the All-Star game. I remember forgetting 78. I had just gotten back from a Little League game, and he was facing, like, the heart of the American League lineup, and he struck out, like, two out of the three of them. It was pretty amazing back then by 8-9 years old, you know, watching him throw him out for my favorite team, the Cubs. That was just an electric moment in my mind.
Thanks for the call, Greg. Yeah, when you're young and you get to see your guy, the All-Star game is very cool. It's still very cool for people who want to see their guys in the game.
Sutter, maybe we'll see Wade Davis and Avi Garcia tonight, and everyone in Chicago, the 10-year-olds, boys and girls across the city of Chicago can have that moment.
Sutter got the win in 78, the win in 79, the save in 8, and the save in 81. 4 years
That's
in
impressive.
A row in the All-Star game.
Back when the NL used to win once in a while.
Well, they had a stretch where they won every year for a very long time. Well, the players cared. The players really cared. I still think Bruce Sutter was the most dominant reliever I've ever seen for a short period of, say, 8 or 9 years. Really, if you go back to when he came up.
Is that really a short period, 8 or 9 year window there?
Compared to Mariano Rivera, I guess. But, you know, I'm glad he's in the Hall of Fame. I think he deserves it. I really do. The splitter was an amazing pitch, and these weren't, you know, 10 pitch saves. These were 3-inning saves,
sure.
Frequently.
Different game back then.
Right now, let's take a quick break for a Julie DeCaro update. Welcome back in on the Lawrence Holmes Show. It's Nick Shepkowski and Barry Rosner with you until 10 o'clock. Right now, talking All-Star games, All-Star game history, All-Star game memories. Lots of you want to talk about it. Shep, I know what one of your favorite memories is, and it just kind of reminds you, while we look at the game and maybe don't put much significance into it, don't care very much, the whole Bud Selig thing, so it was a real turnoff with making the game count. But when we were kids, the game was a big deal. I mean, and you talk to guys who played in it, like Ron Santo or Ryan Sandberg or Frank Thomas.
Well, didn't Frank leave one early? Wasn't that the big story 1 year of him hopping in either the limo and heading to the airport
that
like in the fifth or sixth inning?
You know,
wasn't
he,
that Frank?
He, if he did, it wasn't that unusual. A lot of guys did that. They wanted to get somewhere. I mean, I don't think that was that big of a deal. But
gotcha.
But it was a big deal to us,
sure,
seeing our guys, especially when your team is bad.
Right. Well, and also think of it the way it used to be. Like, I remember growing up watching, like, when you saw out-of-town baseball, Fox came up with the Saturday game of the week, and that was like a huge deal when they got the baseball rights. I remember that being a big deal of, oh my God, Fox is going to have baseball and Saturday baseball now. Otherwise, it was Sunday night baseball, or you had baseball tonight each night, late at night, if you were allowed to stay up late enough to see that. And you get the screaming home run ball, the guy that looked like Juan Gonzalez in the cartoon on Baseball Tonight, and you would see her like, and here's all the guys that hit the home run for today.
Yeah, similarly, when I was a kid, you had the game of the week on NBC, mm-hmm. and that was pretty much it. That's when you got to see the Cincinnati Reds and the Pittsburgh Pirates and the New York Yankees and the Dodgers. You looked forward to that. All right, when we come back, we'll take your calls. We'll get to your favorite memory.
Because it plays right into what the caller said about his favorite memory there just a moment ago.
All right, we'll do that next right here on the Lawrence Holmes Show on 670 The Score. Welcome back in on the Lawrence Holmes Show. It's Nick Shepkowski and Barry Rosner with you Till 10 o'clock tonight, right now, we're talking All-Star games, memories, and Shep, I know you have a favorite.
Yeah, and the caller moment ago that brought up seeing his guy pitch in the All-Star game and record a couple of strikeouts against the best hitters in the American League, that was that, and it's very much along the lines of what mine is. Not that I was ever like a Pedro Martinez super fan or anything along those lines, but back in 1999 when he didn't have MLB Network and Red Sox games weren't being broadcast on ESPN every weekend like they are seemingly now, Pedro Martinez was, oh, here he's a great pitcher. How great of a pitcher is he really? And then the 1999 All-Star game came. Played at Fenway that year. The National League had a starting lineup that 1 through 6 went Barry Larkin. He ended up in the Hall of Fame. Larry Walker, look at his numbers, and he would have a case for that. Sammy Sosa, who was just at the heels of a 66 home run year. Mark McGwire, who hit the 70. Matt Williams, one of the best bats in baseball all through the 90s. And Jeff Bagwell were hitting 1 through 6 that day, and this is how that game started. And Matt Williams reached on error. He was the only one to make contact that inning, or at least put contact on a ball, have it be hit in fair territory. He gets a hit and run that went poorly with Jeff Bagwell, and he gets thrown out trying to steal second base. 5 strikeouts against those 6 guys, and that's always when I think of like, oh my God, this Pedro Martinez guy who I see in the, you see in the newspaper because he's always at the top of strikeouts and earned run average. Actually seeing that one play out was like eye-opening as all can be for a kid.
So in 1934, Carl Hubbell struck out future Hall of Famers Ruth Gehrig, Jimmy Fox, Al Simmons, and Joe Cronin in order.
Is that good?
That's pretty like, good.
Is that a solid start?
That was in the first couple innings. In 1984, on the 50th anniversary of Hubbell's 5 strikeouts, Fernando struck out Hall of Famers Dave Winfield, Reggie Jackson, and George Brett in order in the 4th inning. And 19-year-old rookie Dwight Gooden, the youngest player ever in the All-Star game, struck out Lance Parrish, Chet Lemon, and Alvin Davis in the 5th. It has, over the years, produced some really extraordinary moments. And I know you all want to talk about it, so let's go back to the phones. And Norm in Romeoville, you're on the Lawrence Holmes Show. Good evening, Norm.
Hey, guys. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Oh, I'm great. You know, my All-Star memory is Reggie Jackson hitting a home run off of the light standard in Tiger Stadium.
Bottom of the 3rd off of Doc Ellis, right?
It hit. Was Doc Ellis high on LSD that day?
Hit the light tower. They called it 380, Norm. But they say it would have traveled 520 feet if it had not hit the standard.
Yeah. And I have one other thing I wanted to throw out to you guys.
Go ahead.
Do you think Michael Jordan's group, in joining Jeter's group in a bid to join the Marlins, is so his group can get some money to pay some outrageous NBA salaries? And
thanks for your call, Norm. No, I don't think it has anything to do with the NBA. Jordan is going to be a very, very small partner in the Miami deal. If indeed Jeter's group gets it, he's not putting a whole bunch into it. So it's just kind of, I think Jeter just wanted him in it.
Yeah, that's put Michael Jordan's name on it and you try to make it more attractive that way. Marlins are always going to be one of my least favorite organizations in all sports. That's the way that stadium was built and everything around that.
Jeff Loria, don't get me started. He and Bud Selig and what they did to the Montreal franchise and how they engineered this whole thing and getting a $200 million interest-free loan.
But that's Bud Selig for you. Hall of Famer Bud Selig
that's the first chance that he got.
Thanks for that, Shep.
Thanks for bringing me down.
Anytime.
Pat in Westchester, you're on the score. Good evening, Pat.
Good evening. Great show, guys. Great show.
Thank you.
I was at the 81 All-Star game, old Municipal Stadium. And I'll make it real quick. The night before the game, they had the exhibition game between Cleveland Browns and the Steelers. They had like 78,000 there. And then the game itself, the baseball game, they had like about that same amount too. And I was saying to myself, man, that's unbelievable. But anyhow, let me digress a little on that. But I was at that game, and the late Gary Carter hit 2 home runs. I think they were solos. And he got MVP, and that was a great game because it kept going back and forth between National and American. And I think he hit one like in the late innings and pulled it out for the National League. And I thought that was pretty cool. And just to let you know, I met Tony Armas outside the ballpark before the game. I got his autograph. I thought that was like the biggest thing I ever did, you know, just to meet somebody out there. And I said, hey, that's Tony Armas. Let's get his auto. And so I said, hey, dude, could I get your auto? And he's like, he didn't know that I'd recognize him, but I did. And I was like a kid at the time. And, you know, when you're a kid, you're sure. Amazed by the way you see these athletes and players. And I was like, man, I appreciate it, you know, and that was my memory. And just to let you know, that was a great game. And it was just, you know, a lot of freebie tickets they gave away. Tony Kubek and Joe Graziola were there, and they were passing out free tickets.
Thanks for your call, Pat. Sounds like a nice night.
When I think of Cleveland All-Star Games, I think of Sandy Alomar Jr. That was my guy growing up because, like you said, like we discussed, watching baseball was different back then. The Indians weren't on TV all the time. Whenever the Indians were on TV and I watched them, I swear to God, Sandy Alomar hit like a game-deciding home run or at least did something like extremely meaningful. And I had this idea in my head, not based off of stats I saw, but after watching games, I'm like, Sandy Alomar Jr. is the greatest catcher and baseball player of all time because all he does is hit home runs and doubles and go-ahead at-bats anytime that he's up in a big moment.
Those Cleveland teams were really fun to watch.
There's a documentary coming out Wednesday night about the 90s Indians.
Oh, good. Keith in Arlington Heights, you're on the score. Hey, Keith.
Hey, guys. This program is like for 53-year-olds on steroids. I look back and I think of those All-Star games.
Hey, I don't know what 53-year-olds on steroids are.
I think of like.
I think he means he likes it, Chef.
Okay. I was just curious of like, well, 53-year-olds walking around with steroids. It doesn't have anything to do with baseball necessarily.
Keith, I'm with you. I understand you're enjoying it. Thank you.
Going nine directions here. It's like
it's all good.
Jerry Curtis, Bob Boone, all the best players on one team, and it was interesting that the Cubs really never had like. But maybe a Steve Swisher on the team or a Harold.
Can I stop you for just a second, Keith? Because the whole Swisher thing was a disaster. I mean, Bill Madlock had won the batting title the year before with a .354 average. He was going to win, he won another one this particular year we're talking about in '76 with a .339 average, I think it was. He won on the last day of the season. He doesn't go to the All-Star game. They pick Steve Swisher because they needed a backup catcher. A joke, right, Keith?
Yeah, you're right. But I think what was so great about that time was like in the late 70s, the All-Star game meant more than it does now, although it had no impact on, you know, playoff.
Yeah, there was no tie-in. There was no tie-in with the World
Series. No tie-ins. But it was just so, like you talked about, plays at the plate. Like a base hit to right field, Dave Parker, Ellis Valentine, Andre Dawson, Dwight Evans, big plays, great catchers. It was just, to me, the game that really elevated the game. If you're from Chicago, it was really the Yankees, Red Sox, Baltimore, Dodgers, Reds, Phillies, Pirates. And if there was a Cub or a White Sox on, it was like, wow, it was so exciting. I look back on it and I say, that's what's missing. This, just the pure excitement of great five-tool player.
Thanks for your call, Keith.
I disagree with that. I'm sorry. I mean, maybe the excitement
Disagree with what?
The lack of five-star players, five-tool players in this game.
I don't
game.
Think he was saying that there aren't five-tool players. He was just saying he was excited to see that. I think what he said that is missing is people's excitement for the game because the players cared so much then. And all right, we know that the players don't care now. Okay, yeah, they don't. They're really not that interested.
Like, and why do we know that they cared so much then? Like, why is that so widely just accepted?
Because I talked to those guys about it, and it was a big deal to get there. It was a very big deal to get there. Today, guys would just as soon not be picked so they could have the rest. And you remember wasn't there a year in which Jeter said, no, I'm going on vacation that week?
There was the Yankee. I don't know if it was Jeter. Was it Mariano? I think it might have been Rivera one year that someone got hurt in the AL bullpen. They're like, hey, Mariano, we need to bring you to the All-Star game. He's like, I'm already in Panama. Kiss my ass.
Yeah, I don't know exactly the reasons. Okay, I can't absolutely explain it to you. I'm sure the money has something to do with it, but I mean, you if you talk to Ron Santo about it, they loved the fact that back then the AL, I don't know, was that the stretch where the AL was beating the NL every single
year? Well, I think that's the stretch
year?
We're in now. Well, not as much now, but like the last...
I'll look back. At next break, I'll look back on it. But there was a stretch where the NL was winning every year. And it was a big deal to these guys to win. There was also the matter of the money, which I think was, it might have been $5,000 to the winner and $2,500 to the loser. Well, that was a big deal in the late 60s, early 70s for those guys. That was a lot
of
money.
Yeah, and what is it, $20,000 winner gets now, loser doesn't get anything?
You're talking about tip money, right?
Yeah.
So, I mean, if you talk to a guy like Sandberg, who when he went the first time, in the middle of that magical 84 season, that was a very, very big deal to him. I mean, he was getting autographs. He was walking around the room getting everybody's autograph. He was afraid to talk to anybody. It was a huge deal to be among all those stars and to be a part of it. Now, you know, I don't have a great explanation for you for why the players don't really care too much. The young guys do. You think Avi Garcia doesn't care? I guarantee you, Avi,
he's excited as hell to be there.
Yeah, so... maybe it's for, maybe for the guys who know they're going to go every year, it's not as big a deal. I'm not exactly sure why.
From 1988 to 2009, the AL only lost 3 All-Star games. And then since then, they've won the last 4. The NL had won the 2010, 11, and 12 through there. This segment on The Score being brought to you by Presence Health. The school year is almost here and it's time for your child's yearly physical. Presence Health offers plenty of locations near you. Visit presencehealth.org/docs to schedule an appointment today.
Lots of people on hold want to talk about the 83 game here in Chicago. That's Robin Elmhurst, Nick, Stan, John, and Frank. We'll get to all you next right here on the Lawrence Holmes Show on 670 The Score.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.